John chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's all stand together. The Bible says this, "For God so loved the world." Man, let's just stop right there and think about that for just a minute. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Before you're seated, let's quote that together. Will you say it with me? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'll let you be seated. This is the absolute most recognizable verse in all the Bible. And regardless of someone's affiliation with church or religion, most everyone has heard this famous verse, these famous words. And it's been said and told and sung and preached countless times through centuries, but is yet to be diminished. If you think about what we just read, man, it swells up in my heart. It does something special for me just to read those words. Even though I've heard it so many times, it still does something very special for me. And it's been studied and dissected and analyzed by many great students of the Bible, but is yet to be completely defined or even completely understood. Let's just all agree that that verse is, it's hard to put into words everything that means. Yeah, we know God came. We know that God gave us His Son. We know that Christ came and died on the cross. We know that God so loved us. And we know that if we put our faith in Him, we can have eternal life. But man, it's so broader than that. It's so bigger than that. But yet so simple. It's so easy to understand. But sometimes it's so big and it's so mind-blowing. It fits well on a t-shirt. I know a lot of people will have that verse or parts of that verse on a t-shirt. And it sounds beautiful at Christmas and Easter. But have we all truly heard it? Have we all truly believed it? Have we all received it into our lives? And I ask you the question today, do you really know that God loves you? I didn't ask you, do you know John 3:16? I didn't ask you if you could quote that verse by memory. But I'm asking you what's inside that verse. If you're to open the lid on that verse and look inside, what's really in there is that God so loves you. And do you know that today? Do you know that today? Quickly today, I want to just give you a few reasons to know and appreciate that God does truly love you. God loves you. I'd love to preach this entire text today, the whole verse that we read, but for time's sake and for simplicity, I want to just preach on the first few words, "For God so loved." Four words, "For God so loved." You ask yourself today, how do we know that God loves? How do we know that God loved me? How do I know that God really loves me? And our answer could be, well, the Bible said so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We sing the little song and we say, that's how I know that Jesus loves me. Well, we know God loves us by John 3:16, the verse we're talking about today. It's there in black and white or in red and white. We have the letters there in the Word of God, and it says that God loves me, so I know it. Mama told me Jesus loves me. Mama told me God loves me. But I ask you today, how do we really know God loves us? How do we really know God cares for us? Well, let me give you three reasons. I'm going to be quick this morning, but I want to give you something today I think that'll help everybody in this room. You ever get to where you're down and out? You feel like nobody loves you? Can I just remind you, God loves you. God loves you. You say, I've never really experienced real love in my life. I feel like I've been beaten up and beaten down and pushed on and pushed down and forgotten and overlooked. Can I tell you, God loves you today. God loves you. God loves you. First of all, I want us to see the distance that He came to find us. The distance that God came to find us. I cannot tell you how far heaven is today, but I know it's farther than any man has ever seen. There's telescopes that can see millions and billions of miles, I guess. They can see a long way into our galaxy, and nobody has ever found heaven. That doesn't mean heaven doesn't exist. It just means that heaven is a long, long ways away. And God loved man so much that He sent Jesus to us, and He was willing to travel a great distance in time and space to come find me and you. You think about God, He came all the way from heaven and came to us. I don't know the distance for that, but He came to us, and He was put into the womb of a virgin maiden. And there He lived for 9 months. And when the time was right, the Bible said, He was born into this sinful world. The Creator of all the world was born to a mama, was born to a lady that would have to feed Him, that would have to change His diaper. You think about it, the Savior of the world, the Creator of all the world, now has to have someone feed Him. The Creator of all the world now has to have someone to change His messy diaper. The Creator of the world, the One who gave us life, now has to have someone, an earthly father, an earthly mother, to get Him up on His feet and teach Him to walk. And He did that, and He grew into a man. The Bible said He became knowledgeable between man and with God. And He grew into a man, and some 33 years later, He would go to an old rugged cross. Many of the secular love songs mention going to great lengths to be with the one they love. I won't ask you to call out your favorite love song, but some of the old love songs would sing about climbing high mountains. I'd climb the highest mountain for you, baby. I'd swim the biggest ocean for you, baby. And all those songs that people sing, I'd walk miles for you. I'd walk miles to be with the one I love. An old song says, I don't care how you get here. Just get here if you can. Tiffany Ray didn't know. She only knows hard rock. She don't know them love songs. I don't care how you get here, get here if you can. And all those thoughts are good. They're romantic even. But there's only ever been one who moved every obstacle. There's only ever been one who could actually climb the highest mountain. There's only ever been one who could actually swim the broadest ocean to get to us. He conquered every hurdle. He faced every challenge. And He went the distance to find an old lost sinner like me. Song says, all the way. He came all the way for me, all the way from heaven's throne to Calvary, leaving me just one little step to take if I believe that He would take me all the way. Man, it's great to know that Christ would come all the way for us. Today, if you're looking for a real love, look no further than the one who went the distance. Went the distance for you. So we see the distance that He came, that He traveled to find us. And then I want you to see the death He endured to forgive us. The death that He endured to forgive us. Let's just be honest. Christ has a bit of celebrity attached to His name. Some people love Him, some people hate Him. But whether people love Him or hate Him, a lot of people, most people, are curious about Christ. They're curious. They'll either be on the side that loves Him, the side that's against Him, the side of right, the side of wrong, whatever it is. People are curious about Christ. But you think about this, if Christ had come the great distance to us, and then all of mankind had drooled over Him like He was some kind of a rock star, if all of mankind would have just fallen madly in love with Christ like a movie star or like a pro athlete, and if Jesus had just come and hung out with us, let's be wise to understand that we would all still be lost in our sins. Okay? Because Christ could not just come and be our friend. Christ could not just come and fellowship with us. No, Christ had to do something bigger than that. What was it that Christ had to do to make everything right? And the answer to that is Christ had to die in our place. That's the only way. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Christ had to come and take your place. Christ had to come and take my place in order for us to have forgiveness. See, man had already had famous men that went to bat for them, and man was still lost. Man came up with all kind of ways to sacrifice and make things right, but man was still forever lost. He had to go to the cross. He had to shed His blood to bring forgiveness to us. Hebrews 9, chapter 12 says, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood, He obtained eternal redemption for us. That's how you and I got saved. It wasn't because Christ was a good man. It wasn't because He came and touched blinded eyes or broke bread and fed thousands of people. No, He just did those things to show His power. It was Christ dying on the cross that brought salvation and redemption for all of us. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What about if I get saved by this person? That's not the approved name. That's not the approved sacrificial lamb. That's not the one that God gave us to save us. Hebrews 9, 22 says, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Christ could not just come and live with us. No, He had to die for us. He had to die in our place. You say, this is the weirdest thing. That man would be in sin and God would come down and now take on that sin and then die so that man would no longer be in sin. You say, this is the strangest thing. You know what? It takes a lot of faith to believe it. It takes some faith to believe that Christ would do that for us, but I'm telling you, it's the truth according to the Word of God. Think about it. We were guilty, but He was innocent. He was perfect and we were not. He chose to trade His perfection for our imperfection and our sinfulness for His sinlessness. Why would He do that? Why would He do that? And the answer is found in those first four words, for God so loved. For God so loved. For God so loved. If you are to receive forgiveness from God, it will not come through candles. It will not come through catechism. It will not come through rituals. It will not come through turning over a new leaf. If you're to find redemption and forgiveness, it's only available by the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary's cross. That's the only way we can have salvation. That's the only way we can have forgiveness. You can't give enough money. You can't do enough good. You can't take enough boxes of old clothes down to Goodwill to get yourself into heaven. It's not because of your family. It's not because of your roots. It's not because you've never killed somebody or never stolen anything. It is because you have simply put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we can have everlasting life. That's how we have everlasting life. So we see the distance that He came to find us. And then we see the death that He died to forgive us. And then thirdly this morning and finally, I want you to see the debt that He paid. The debt that He paid to free us. The debt that Christ paid to free us. Let's just be honest. Forgiveness is different than freedom. Okay, think about that for just a minute. Process what I just said. Forgiveness is different than freedom. Someone can commit a crime against my family and I can forgive them, but they'll still lose their freedom. They'll still have to pay a debt to society and a debt to my family for the crime that they committed. Even though I go to the judge and say, Judge, I know what the Bible says, and I want you to know I forgive that man. I could say, Sir, I forgive you for what you did to my family. And he'll have forgiveness, but he won't have freedom. There's a difference in forgiveness and freedom. And I say, what good is forgiveness without freedom? What good is forgiveness without freedom? Remember our text. The Bible says, for God so loved. He demonstrated His love toward us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But what does that death mean? Yes, it brought salvation to me. Yes, it brought forgiveness to me. But what if I died in my sins forgiven? What if I died and Christ said, you're forgiven, but you still have to pay your debt? What if Christ would have come and said, hey, I want you to know you've been forgiven, but you'll still have to pay the penalty for your sin, what kind of salvation would that be? Man, what a weak salvation we would have if all I've got was just somebody by way of what they said brought forgiveness to me. It would be weak at best. But Christ, He demonstrated to His love to us by dying a death to forgive us. But what good would that really be if I still had to pay my sin debt? What if I still missed heaven? What if I died and went to hell forgiven? What if I died and went to hell forgiven? Oh, listen, Jesus Christ took care of all that. He took care of not only the death that was mine, but He also took care of the debt that was mine and yours. His death on the cross not only forgave us of our sin, but now our trust in Him, it frees us from ever paying the debt for the sin. My putting my faith and trust in Him, it frees me from ever having to pay for my sin debt. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." You can't beat the deal that we get in Christ. I had sin. I had to pay for that sin. Somebody had to pay for that sin debt, and Jesus Christ came and said, "I'll pay Craig Hudgens' sin debt." Well, what about the death? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for all of sin. What about the death? What about the debt? And Jesus Christ said, "I'll take care of that too." Man, what a great deal we got in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read this story to you. It says, God is gracious, but He will not force the acceptance of His grace upon men. In 1829, George Wilson in Pennsylvania was sentenced to be hanged by United States court for robbing the mails and for murder. President Andrew Jackson pardoned him, but this was refused, and Wilson insisted that it was not a pardon unless he accepted it. That was a point of law that had never been raised, and the president called the Supreme Court to decide. And Chief Justice John Marshall gave the following decision. He said, "A pardon is a paper, the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. It is hardly to be supposed that one under sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon, but if it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged." And he was hanged. Provisionally, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, is for everyone, irrespective of what he may or what he may have done, what he may or may not have done. Potentially, it is only to everyone that believeth. This man had a pardon, but he said, "I won't take it." And can I tell you, Christ has brought forgiveness to you. Christ wants to grant forgiveness to you. I believe there's a whole world out there who have been forgiven. They just don't know it, or they don't believe it. They will not receive it. If man would just believe, if man would just say, "Hey, I'll take the pardon," they could have not only forgiveness of sin, but also be free of the guilt and free of the burden of death in a place called hell. Christ not only wants our sin to be forgiven, but He wants our debt to be paid. It'd be a shame to pay a debt for all eternity that Christ so willingly already took care of. I heard a story recently, and I may not tell this story, I didn't have it in my notes, but I felt like it might fit here and be something that would catch your attention. I heard a story about a man who saved up for a long time to go on a cruise ship. He saved and saved and saved. Every extra money he got, he put in the envelope. And one day he finally said, "I've got enough money to go on a cruise." And he was going to sail the Atlantic from New York to Europe and back. And he was excited to finally get this trip. It had taken him a long, long time to save the money. Going on the trip, he packed some lunches. And he put some food in his room. And every night they would go out and they'd be having a good time. And they were sightseeing and different things. And some of his friends would say, "Hey, you going to meet us for dinner?" And he would say, "No, I'll go back to my room and eat dinner." And he'd go back to his room and he'd eat peanut butter jelly sandwiches or something like that. And the next morning, his friends would say, "Oh, we had a great breakfast. Are you going to join us tomorrow for breakfast?" He said, "No, I'll probably just eat in my room." And in his mind, he was thinking, "I just don't have enough money to do what my friends are doing. They're eating breakfast on the ship. They're eating lunch on the ship. They're eating dinner on the ship. They're eating late at night on the ship. And it was all I could do to even get on board. And so he just ate every night in his room, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Well, the final day of the cruise, got there and his friend said, "Okay, this is it. This is the last day. You've got to come eat dinner with us." And he said, You don't understand. I just don't have the money to come eat dinner." And they said, "You don't understand. All the meals were included with your ticket." And so for a whole week, he had been missing out on the benefits and the blessings that were already paid for. Can I tell you that Christ has already given you eternal life. It's not just forgiving your sins. It's not just turning over a new leaf. It's not just getting churchy or getting religious. No, Christ wants to give you benefits and blessings beyond all measure. And can I tell you, anything you get from Christ is already paid for. It's already paid for. So I ask you these questions today. Have you ever taken God at His word concerning your sin? Have you ever really taken God at His word concerning your sin? The sin has to be dealt with in me and in you. Our sin has to be dealt with. Somebody will pay the sin debt. And let me just say it this way. You can pay your own sin debt if you want to. You can pay your own sin debt. It will just take you all eternity to do so. But that sin debt will be paid. I'm so glad that Christ, when He came, He was willing to pay our sin debt. People say our sin was erased. And I know what people mean when they say that. But let me just remind you, our sin was not erased. Somebody had to pay for it. And Christ paid that sin debt. It's already been taken care of on the cross of Calvary. So have you ever taken God at His word concerning your sin? Why in the world would you want to pay your own sin debt? Why would anybody want to do that? Why would anybody want to get on a cruise and miss out on the blessings? Why would anybody want to do that? And why in our life would we want to miss out on the blessing of having eternal life? I ask you today, have you ever considered the great love of God? Today we mention the distance He came to find us, the death that He died to forgive us, and the debt that He paid to free us. When's the last time you really considered that? Considered it. I'm not asking you to consider being a part of this church, although I'd love for you to be. I'm not asking you to consider your habits and hang-ups and things like that. We sang about it this morning. God's bigger than that stuff. But today, for just a few minutes, I'm asking you to consider your sin and what will you do with it. And I say this, God has already, because of His great love, taken care of that sin. For you and me, He became a substitute. He became a substitute on the cross of Calvary. He went where I was supposed to go. Brother Ben, put that verse back up there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that last line says, for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This verse is split into two parts. There's a problem, and there's also a fix there. God loved the world, not just because we needed loving, but because we were sinful. And it was going to take Him dying in our place. And God gave us His only begotten Son, and who would ever put their faith and trust in Him will not perish, will not have to go to a place called hell, but have everlasting life. I like the thought of everlasting life. I like it a lot. I don't like the thought of funeral homes and cemeteries. I don't like that a whole lot. But man, to think that one of these days, when this life is over for me, I'll be just as alive as I've ever been. Probably more so. Probably more so. And can I tell you today, friend, you can have the same thing by simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand together. I'll get Miss Elena to come, and we'll have a verse of a song. But while you're standing, let's, if possible, let's not move out or move around. But I want to just simply ask these questions. Is there anybody in the room today who would lift their hand and say, "Brother Craig, that's me. I've never trusted Christ. I've never done what that verse says, whosoever believeth in Him." Now, I know about Jesus. I've heard the stories. I've heard the messages. But to say I've actually put my faith and trust in Him for my eternity. Brother Craig, I've never done that, but I want to. Would you pray for me, Brother Craig? If that's you, would you lift your hand? I'm looking on my left. Brother Craig, I've never trusted Christ like you're talking about, but I want to. Anybody on my left? Anybody on my right? Brother Craig, I've never trusted Christ like that, but I want to. I see one hand. I've never trusted Christ like that, but I want to. Can I just encourage you to just step out where you're at? Just meet me right here in the front. If that's you, you don't have to, but I'd encourage you to do that. Today would be a great day to just simply trust Christ and say, today, I want to receive Christ. I want to ask Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. Maybe there's somebody in the room today, you'd say, Brother Craig, I've got a burden for somebody in my family, maybe a coworker, maybe a friend. Brother Craig, I just from what I know, they've never done this. They've never trusted Christ. Brother Craig, would you help me pray for a loved one in my life? Would you lift your hand and say, Brother Craig, I've got somebody I know. They need to trust Christ. Can I tell you, the whole world needs to trust Christ. I'll let you put your hands down. And I'll ask you this final question. We talked today about the great love of God. And I ask you, when's the last time you told God, thank you for loving me? When's the last time you poured that love back on Him? Oh, God so loved. The Bible could have said God loved. The Bible could have said God kind of loved. The Bible could have said God was a little bit affectionate toward us. But instead, it uses that term. He said God so loved. Oh, God so loved us. It took a so love for Him to send His Son, His darling Son, and have Him killed before all of humanity. What a great love He had for us. And when's the last time you've poured that love back on Him? When's the last time you told God in so many words, God, I love you. I love you for loving me. God, I thank you for loving me. I thank you that you died in my place so that I wouldn't have to. I thank you that you took my sin so that I could take your righteousness. I thank you, God, that you took my death so that I could take your life. When's the last time you just simply bowed the knee, bowed the heart and said, God, today I want to let you know I so love you in return. We're going to open the altars, have a verse of a song. If you'd like to come for prayer, maybe to thank God, maybe to pray for a loved one, or maybe you yourself need to receive Christ, why don't you come while they sing? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word now. Use it for your honor and glory. Help us to make decisions and choices that would please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.